I'm preaching through Nehemiah and I see on my lectern volume 8 has been produced. Nehemiah, 1977 and 1994. Voice of Faith, the Sunday Morning Message Series, 68. Voice of Faith, 9:15. I can't believe this. The date on both of them is 9477 and 9494. If that happened, then God works in even more mysterious ways than I thought. That means this is number 9. Don't count on me starting in the same place every time in 94 that I did in 77. In fact, I don't know what I did, the ninth message in 77, because this week I didn't listen to what I did in 1977. Deliberately. I didn't want to be persuaded away from what I wanted to do today. What I said in 1977 might have been so good I'd have tried it again. Instead, I wanted to go back to the third chapter. And if I listen to it and find that I did that in 77, I may finally be converted to God's sovereignty totally. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, built the sheep gate. We already talked about the sheep gate. On one side, the Tower of Hananiel. On the other side, the Tower of Mia. Words that mean, God is gracious, Hananiel. Mia, 100. Human responsibility multiplied. 10 times 10. God is gracious. The Tower of 100. The sheep gates, the gate of sacrifice. That's where it always starts if you're going to do a work for God. But the fish gate, verse 3, did the sons of Hasina, Hasanah. But the fish gate did the sons of Hasaniah build, who also laid the beams thereof, set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. The fish gate. Where you bring them in the waters of Jordan, Galilee, bring the fish in. I've studied this fish gate a bit this week, having listened last week to the 1977 message, where as a prophet, I said the fish gate would again be built at Faith Center. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. So you don't have to struggle much to know the meaning of the fish gate. But I want to put the added meaning on it today. It's where you bring fish in. Adding to. All I have to do is look at this congregation today. And even though we struggle to get 3,000 who will participate each month in this worldwide ministry with their support. We have many more than 3,000 who support. It's just getting the same 3,000 to support every single month doing something. And it's become a spiritual benchmark that when we cross it as an act of faith united together, it's merely the number that came in on the day the church was born, on the day of Pentecost. It again maximizes that promise we claimed when I first came here, 7th book, 7th chapter, 7th verse, Judges. By the 300 will I say, times 10, matching the number on which the church is founded, on that day of Pentecost, when we cross that and solidify it, there will be a change in this ministry to a solidarity that cannot be removed. I've been telling you that for years. We got the earnest of it when we first crossed that boundary of 3,000. But as I've said, we have many more than 3,000. It's getting them to participate every single month as a commitment response to recognize calling. And though we don't have the same 3,000, we get the 3,000 most months. That's a lot more than 105, 4, 5, or 6, whichever it was, that voted me in, that were sitting in that congregation when I preached that message in 1977. But I've thought it through. There is a sense in 1977, because I was just naming the hope, that the fish gate would involve us in reaching out. No, ringing in. We still have the goal, 3,000. That can be counted on to be there inside the gate every single month. Now, there's no accident in God's book. This city, Jerusalem, the city that God chose to place His name, the city that literally symbolizes the church, which I can tell you, when John says, I saw heaven opened, and he saw the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, we, the redeemed saints, are that new Jerusalem. We are the house of God in which He dwells, that He puts on display. And this Old Testament pattern of building up according to God's plan, the house of God, has direct relevance and typology to what the church, His people, the New Jerusalem, ought to be. These gates give us understanding of proper functioning. The fish gate is to bring them in. The fish gate did the sons of Hasanaah build. Who also laid the beams. Set up the doors, locks and bars. But I'm tempted, if I could ever get 3,000 of you in here in one place, just check to see how many were listening or off wool gathering with their minds. It's hard. The reason I paused at that point, I thought, you know, there was flashing in my mind. Give me 3,000, I'll set up the locks and the bars. And you ain't ever getting out. Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshullam, the son of Besodiah. They laid the beams thereof, set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. I ask you about this church. In 1987, or 77, I had to say to the congregation what I was having to do to Resurrect Faith Center might give the impression I had no respect for the old things of God. How many times have I said we don't need to rediscover, or we don't need to discover any new truths. We only need to rediscover the old truths. I brought this church back to foundations. I preached through the book of Galatians and brought to this platform what many Lutherans have forgotten about that great reformer. The foundation basis in the Word for the Protestant Reformation. We have taken the lead in restoring the old things that ought to be restored as benchmarks of spiritual inspiration. I didn't really have this verse in mind when I led this church to involve itself in preservation of things old and precious in meaning throughout this community. I didn't really hold Nehemiah in hand. I just had an inner urge and appreciation from being a history major of what a vacuum is created in the minds of people who do not know the power of history to speak to us. If you don't know history, you're destined to repeat its mistakes. And if you know history, you can pull out of it things of meaning that provide inspiration to today's movement. Out of all the past of Faith Center and the problems that had to be dealt with, it has emerged, bringing with it the strength of age and the best of its past. If Jesus tarries in generations to come, the fountain of faith will continue to be a symbol to the kind of faith that was necessary to restore this church. I don't know if it's become commonplace to you, but those Jesus saved signs for every single person that can even remember a church on Hope Street. The Jesus saved signs on the skyline of Los Angeles have been seen and are remembered by 100,000 more. 100,000 to one is a conservative estimate. And when I first heard they were going down, I was quoted by the LA Times over my dead body. Would they leave the skyline of Los Angeles? I cannot tell you, as I was fighting in concert with the Religious Cultural Commission of Los Angeles, that we created for the very purpose of finding, locating, and preserving religious memorials in Los Angeles. I cannot tell you the agony of my spirit. When I used to drive down the Pasadena Freeway and see those signs laying in the junkyard or storage place for signs just before you come under Interstate 5 with graffiti written across their bases, I took on the largest and most powerful Japanese and American construction and business building management corporation ever to land in this country. I still remember sitting down in front of their leaders as representative of the Religious Cultural Commission and saying to them, as I sued them for not respecting and not doing an adequate environmental impact study in the 12 years of building here on what they had done to affect the religious environment, removing all the spiritual landmarks in this city of the angels. I'd called Tom Bradley, the mayor, and said, those Jesus Save signs go, something goes out of the spiritual life of this city. And you might as well change the name to City of Business, Foreign Investment, Industry, or anything other than City of the Angels. And he agreed. We sued that powerful downtown controlling agency, CRA, isn't it? Sued them, the firm that was going to build the high-rise. I remember sitting down and saying to them, can't win. You ain't building for 5 years. I'll keep you in court that long. You can't sue me for any kind of tort either, because the code says every citizen of this state has a duty to protect the environment. And that's all I'm doing. So I know you'll eventually get your permit. But I'm going to be there chewing at you for at least 5 years before you get it. And you say, whoa, don't interrupt me today. I haven't got time. They said, what do you want? I said, those Jesus Saved signs. I want you to refinish them, restore them, and put them up. Deal. Deal. I've told you the story of wanting to help a Jewish synagogue in the Boyle Heights area that didn't have the money to restore their historic church after the earthquake, and then I discovered they wanted to move from that area. They didn't want my help. We saved the Southwest Museum until now it's viable again. We did our part to save this downtown Central Library, which is a cultural asset that needed to stay in the heart of the city. We've saved this grand old cathedral. We've saved the Bibles to teach, the price that was paid to bring God's Word to you. We helped with George Otis save the cross in the Hollywood Hills. I'd say we have an old gate. And we've done a pretty good job building it, like those that were chosen of God to build it in that day. Jehoiada, Jehovah Noah, Meshullam, Devoted, Besodiah, Secret of Jehovah. Isaiah, Council of Jehovah. Names like that were chosen to build the old gate. As I analyze our history and then say we've tarried long enough at this place, am I boring you? Keep going with me. The Valley Gate, verse 13. Repaired Hanan. Hanan means favored by God. And the inhabitants of Zanoa. Zanoa means marsh, stinking marsh, smelly place. The Valley Gate repaired, favored of God, and stinking ones. Favored of God, marsh, or stinking place. I thought on that this morning even, as I thought of putting our church activity in perspective. Now, let me tell you how someone else would advertise a church. They'll advertise it, easy parking for you, comfortable seats and air conditioning. Of course, we have all that. That shouldn't be the reason to come. Easy access. That's why we're in the suburbs. We've brought God where you live. We move God closer to you. Playgrounds for your kids. We have nurseries. I take your kids on a learning experience. This is what God wants. I've been telling you, God doesn't exist for you and me. We exist for Him. And these people were satisfied to live with all this in disrepair until Nehemiah came along and shook them up. That's why I'm preaching on him again. And I thought on this Valley Gate. Every year I preach I'm with Chris. You might turn your headset down a little, but I heard her ask what's going on. You guys are not here to listen to me. You can buy a tape. Listen to her. You know, I have cameramen that get caught up in the message. That's very flattering, but that's not why they're here. You're here to make it better for those that are not here to see and hear. I am not going to include it in the message today, but there was the court of the prison in this city. Even the city of God had to deal with incorrigibles. That's thrown in free. I thought what God is saying about this Valley Gate is exactly what I've been saying every year for 18 years, as I preach every year on Psalm 84, and what the message is of those who build it, you can't get much more distant in the spectrum of human personality and condition than God, a person who's favored by God, and the one stuck in a stinking marsh. And what is being said, everybody goes in and out the Valley Gate. But blessed is the man whose strength is in Thee and whose heart are the ways, literally, of Thee, who passing through the valley of weeping. Anybody that builds a church that's all fluff and doesn't tell its members there's a valley gate for those that go in and out of the valley is less than the church of the living God. I think we've done our part on that subject. Every year, we've pointed that out. But the Dung Gate, there's one that we haven't emphasized as much as we should have. However, we certainly have used it. I have a little problem. Some of you that wonder why I can't solve this problem that we've had of late. The Dung Gate's kind of crowded. Now, how long will it take you to get that, or am I going to have to teach you on this a bit? Well, I just can't really, I'm spiritual. I don't like to have to deal, I want to tell you something. If I told you, if I told you what the Hebrew word is, you would find out that God's a lot clearer in His communication than I and the King James translators are. It's the Skabala gate. Is dung something different than those other words we use to describe it? There's just something about it. You can get away with saying dunghead. It doesn't quite flow very smoothly to say you dung dong, whatever. It doesn't fly, does it? Can't say dumb, dung, or dunghead. You don't know dumb. You don't fly. Doesn't fly, unless somebody like me comes along and exposes the raw speech patterns. We like to read past those phrases real fast. God, one of God's favorite subjects is to say He's going to turn somebody into a dunghill. I suggest it'd be good reading if you're going to read the Bible through in 1995. Circle the times that He uses dung and dunghill. God likes that word. He has to deal with it so much. Dungate. I'm spiritual. Probably you tune me off for now, all you spiritual ones, but if there's any left, any of you left, I don't really think that I'm suited for dealing with matters like the dungate. Can you imagine what the traditionalists would have put us through for these last centuries if Jesus had been hung? Sorry, folks, that does not translate onto shortwave. Look who repaired the dung gate. But the dung gate repaired Malchiah. Malchiah means my king is Jehovah. Well, that's a pretty spiritual person, isn't it? The guy whose name means my king is Jehovah is out there repairing the dung gate. Making sure there's a way out for the honey wagons. You better understand how important the dung gate is. Can you imagine what Jerusalem would be like after a few years with no dung gate? They really didn't have underwater sewer systems in those days like we now have. Dung gate. My king is Jehovah. Repaired the dung gate. I've been doing that. Anybody heard me over these 18 years say, elimination is as necessary to the health of the body as assimilation? We just don't like to talk about it. But God wants to make sure we're not stupid enough to build His house without a dung gate. I can show you a lot of churches with no dung gate. I'd say I'm trying to get you to feel good about us. We've done all right. Sheep gate, we started there. Fish gate, bringing them in. Don't have the 3,000 yet. Old gate. Valley gate. Yes. Yes. We're one of the few churches that has a dung gate. Even talk about it. Can you imagine a dung gate that's so hidden you can't find it? That's what's wrong with some churches. They got honey wagons colliding at the fish gate. Parked at the old gate. And after the dung gate. But the gate of the fountain, verse 15, repaired Shalom, the son of Kolhaza, the ruler of part of Mizpah. He built it, covered it, set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, bars thereof, and the wall of the pool of Siloah. This gate of the fountain. Again, this is the sixth fountain gate. I thought on it. Oh, it'll be easy to think of the gate of the fountain and link it to the fountain of faith, and there is a way in which I can link it. But its symbolism is the life of the Spirit that must dwell in, spring forth, and flow through. How many years have we been standing here saying, I think I may be the only preacher on television that truly believes in the born-again experience, that you cannot change yourself. There must be put in you that enlivening spirit, that dunamis, that endowment, that life which is so often symbolized. Water symbolizes the Spirit, and water symbolizes the Word. You'll find the two usually in concert. Where the Spirit is, the Word will reign supreme over him when God's will is being done. And where God's Word is, the Spirit loves to dwell. But this fountain gate speaks of the indwelling life of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit. Because there's a footnote, it's right by the pool of Siloam. Siloam in the Old Testament, Siloam in the New. Where healing waters were. I can say this church has truly built the fountain gate. There is no church more consistent in preaching that you cannot change, but faith gives you that which can only be analogized to a fountain flowing forth. Spirituality is the expressions of the Spirit. It is God being Himself through you, the fount of His life, flowing up in you, being placed in you because of your faith, not something stamped on from the outside. We're waiting, folks, for the waters to be troubled, the pool of Siloam, and the miracles that were prophesied. We have the earnest every week. There are people that call in, healed by God's power, as they partake of communion. We have miracles all around us in this church. How many of you were here when Buddy stood to his feet? The appearance of what was the nickname of his old outfit in Vietnam, the Walking Dead. How many remember when Buddy Garcia stood looking like the Walking Dead? Stand up, Buddy, and let him look at you now. Quite a difference. Come on. But I want the 3,000. And I want the 3,000 who will agree with me and not stop believing and fasting and praying that one of these nights as we go to the table of the Lord, the miracle ministry, abundant and outstanding, with focus on the Word, not me, will happen in its fullness. After that fountain gate symbolizing the life of the Spirit that alone can do the work of transforming us by the wall of the pool of Siloam, we then have the water gate. Moreover, the Nethinims dwelt in Ophel under the place over against the water gate. There you have the symbol of going out to the whole world. Watergate. The Word of God flowing in and out into us, out to the world. There's what is symbolized in the fountain of faith as we have that globe with the pictures of the world around it and spilling over it from all the colors of the tabernacle, the water of God's Word, as we said those many years ago, God will honor our faith and we indeed will cover this whole globe with His Word. No other voice in 2,000 years has ever done it. And we're doing it at this moment as we are every hour round the clock, covering every square inch of this globe with the water of God's Word. I say, we've done okay with the Watergate, but let's keep going with it. After them, the Tekoites prepared another piece. I have to stop with the Tekoites for a minute. Tekoa means trumpet. They built their part. Their nobles did not build with them. But here you find the Tekoites building yet another piece. Over against the great tower that lieth out, even under the wall, verse 27, even under the wall of Ophel, from above the horse gate. Horse gates for war. Number 8. Horse gate. Do I need to say we kept that one open? Ready at any time to go forth to battle for the cause of Christ. More than anyone recognizing we are at war spiritually, and we have to be ready every day to put on the whole armor of God. I think we've kept that one. The East Gate. Number 9. Getting close to the number of human responsibility, which is 10. East Gate. Just inside the eastern gate over there, that grand old hymn of the church. The east gate of Jerusalem sealed up now in the old city. There are some who know from prophetic pictures the meaning of that eastern gate, an expectancy of His coming, an ability to keep this hope that God is in control and He will have the last word. Year after year, we have taken God's word of prophecy, preached in Daniel and Revelation, and schooled this church in an understanding until Christ could not say to us critically, "You know the signs of the weather, but you can't read the signs of my coming." We were the first to declare against those that appointed Saddam Hussein as the Antichrist, and that tribulation and Armageddon was around the window and around the corner, and I stood here on this platform and said, "He ain't it. He's from the area. Oh, he might be if he lives long enough at another time, but this one ain't it." This church has been schooled by deliberate planning in the books of Daniel and Revelation again and again. They're always playing on the network that we might not be surprised when that eastern gate breaks open. All we can give it is the expectancy and the openness in this church that we're ready for His coming. But now we come to number 10 as I preach the whole message to this point. I'd say the church has done pretty good in all of these gates. But now the 10th one is just in front of and between the going up of the corner under the sheep gate. We've come all the way around now, and we're right back close to the sheep gate where the merchants and goldsmiths repair. That's verse 32. Just in front of it, 31st verse, after him repaired Malchiah, whose name means Jehovah is King, the goldsmith's son. You have an idea what a goldsmith's son could have been doing? But he's repairing under the place of the Nethinims and of the merchants, Wall Street, over against the gate Mithkad. The gate Mithkad. You know what it means? The appointed place. Now, I did not hold Nehemiah's book in hand all these years and set it down as a blueprint for what is happening. I just followed God's leading. The appointed place. Mithkad. But God certainly has led, and this is the testimonial. And you ought to be able to see the waymarks and somewhere get off the fence and say this truly is a church that as literally as He picked up a people and rescued them out of Egypt's bondage and has worked miracle after miracle and shaped them to fulfill His purpose. Little did I know, when years ago, in a motel outside Springfield, Missouri, when I prayed for God to break something in my nature that He and I knew about, basically it was that Jacob spirit. I'd do anything for God, but when God didn't finish the job, I'd finish it for Him. And I knew, as I was in my denomination at the peak of success, as they would judge it, I knew that there was still that side of me that would not fail for God. Would not, when He didn't reveal His hand, just wait. I'd do it for Him. And I prayed for God to do whatever He had to do, take that out of my nature. And I went into those valley experiences where God used my dad to tie me up into a situation for which he grieved for many years that I couldn't deliver myself from. And the point when I gave up inside and knew that I was finally ready to face the failure that was certain if God did not deliver, and went that Sunday to Melody Land. And Claire Grace gave her prophecies. Little did I know, as I then came out of that valley, moved from place to place, that God was preparing me to come to this place, and this congregation was brought to a state that would weld us together, and that God had brought us to this very moment. And for over 2 years now, I've been preaching on the calling and choice of God, that before the worlds were formed, He chose you and picked you and positioned you. Who's building this gate of Mithkad? The one whose name means Jehovah is King. The goldsmith's son under the place of the Nethinims. See, they just named the place. The builder is the one whose name means Jehovah is King. What have I been teaching you these last 2 years? The sanctuary is at the place of the throne. At the point of giving up, His life takes over. I've been preparing through the book of Ephesians and now in Colossians this congregation for the understanding that we have been chosen for this hour, as Esther was told by Mordecai, you've come to the kingdom for this hour. As we go into the next century, God has positioned us at the threshold of being His voice worldwide. And we're struggling to get 3,000 people to accept their appointment to where you're as reliable, knowing that Jehovah is your King and He has chosen you. You're as reliable to be counted on to do your job, to be as concerned about the 3,000 as I am, until you'll be one of the 3,000, or a family, two of them, or three. We've got the history. All we're waiting on, and there's not much else to be said about it, is for those of you that have tried to stay in some neutral spot, some non-involved, onlooking position. We're waiting on you to accept your appointed place. That just as God prepared me through my life to do my part with this ministry that reaches out to the world, He brought you to this hour, to where, as I feel, this ministry is more important than anything else in my life, you better feel your appointed place, chosen by God before the worlds were formed, and now to fill up the niches and last stones as we return to the gate of sacrifice, you better find your appointed place. Quit kicking against the pricks. Quit arguing with God's choice and say, here am I, Lord. Take me. And that's my message.